Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in. This is Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Jeff Kinley. You're going to want to go back and listen. He wrote the book As Was in the Days of Noah, talking about how to live in these times. So many quotable moments, so many important truths. In fact, one we tweeted said, if you want to stand in these latter days, you're going to have a tenacious spirit and a tender heart. So I encourage you, go back and catch that hour, myfaithradio.com. Well, we're going to switch gears now and talk about what it means to be brave, okay? My guest today writes this, I'm here today to ask you to please do that thing in your heart that scares you to death. Make that move or that leap you wouldn't have made even weeks ago. So why don't you just think about that for a minute. What is that for you? Is it a job change, a relationship adjustment? Maybe you're considering going back to school or to the mission field or across the street to love your difficult neighbor. What's that thing that maybe scares you half to death, but it's not leaving you alone? Are you willing to do that thing? And what do you suppose will happen if you do? Do you believe God will be there with you every step of the way? Do you know how he feels about your faith? I want you to pause right now and think about, how does God feel about my faith? Because Scripture says your faith is more precious to him than gold. And when you move on faith, when you step out in the face of your fears, it's precious to God, and he will be there with you every step of the way. Well, I'm excited today to talk with Annie Downs. I told her before the show, man, we just have so many of the same friends, know so many of the same people. It's just about time I get her on the show here. Title of her new book is Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. Let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the show. Annie Downs is a popular blogger and speaker whose influence reaches around the world through her blog at AnnieFDowns.com. She's also written for Encourage, Women of Faith, and the Catalyst blog, Susie Magazine. Never heard of that. I need to look that up since, you know, my name's Susie and all. Youth Worker Journal, and you can find her influencer page on the web at myfaithradio.com. Annie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me.
So good to meet you. Well, we love starting all of our conversations talking Scripture, and you chose a passage that I absolutely adore, Psalm 73, verses 25, 26. Who am I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Talk about that passage, Annie, why you chose it.
Yeah, you know, I remember being in college maybe 10-ish years ago, and hearing that verse really for the first time. I'm sure I'd come across it before, but it was really the first time that my heart heard it, if you know what I mean. And it just really felt like the Lord was reminding me that that he's always going to be there, and everything else comes second to him, including my own heart. Even when my own heart fails, God would be enough. And so I've just really clung to that. And you know, there was a time when that was painted on my wall. I just kind of painted as a generous way. I used some Sharpies to write it on my office wall, just because I wanted to remember, and I wanted it to be in the front of my mind that who else do we have but him, and what else do we desire but him? Yeah. It feels like when that's our focus, everything else kind of flows out of a healthy place.
Yeah, I love that he is my strength and my portion forever. As you said, he's more than enough. Well, before we get into the content of Let's All Be Brave, I'd love some backstory on your growing up years, your faith journey, and how you came to Christ.
Sure. You know, I'm one of the lucky ones who was raised in a godly family, and I remember clearly accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 5 years old. I can tell you what pew we were sitting in at my home church, and I remember my mom and dad were sitting there, and Mom walked up to the front with me. I mean, I can still watch it in my head like a video, just that clear, which I'm really grateful now as a 34-year-old that the Lord called me to himself so early, and I have such clear memories, because then as I grew as a teenager and struggled through all the things that typical teenagers struggle through and really had to wrestle with truth and lies and believing that God is who he says he is, I already believed him because I believed him so long ago. And I knew him started to know him at such a young age. So that's how I grew up. I grew up, you know, if the church doors were open and the Coke machine was taking quarters, I was there, you know. I totally loved it. That was kind of the center of my life was what our church was doing. And it was just a really fun, my youth group was fun. And I went to a big public college. I went to the University of Georgia, go Dogs. And really, really in college is where my faith became my own. I think that's pretty typical of a kid raised in a youth group that you grow in your faith as a student. But when you're out from under your parents' roof is when you really have the opportunity and the chance to decide whether this is going to really be your faith or whether you are going to choose something else. And so the Lord just kind of put me in a place where I got to figure out that he was the best answer no matter what. And so I've spent the last however long that's been since college just kind of living that, like, even when it's hard and even when it doesn't make sense and even when it's scary, he's the right answer no matter what.
Hmm. Annie, did you ever go through times of doubt or wondering about, you know, adopting your parents' faith and making your own in that process? Did you ever go through times of doubt and wondering about things?
Oh, definitely. You know, I would say probably for me, that season was my entire sophomore year of college. I had kind of gone into college really enthusiastic about getting involved in a campus ministry that a lot of my friends from my growing up youth group were involved in and being really active there. And as a freshman, I just, you know, had something ministry centric, whether I was going to a Bible study or being mentored one-on-one almost, you know, three or four nights a week. And then when I came back my sophomore year, I just kind of had this moment of like, why am I doing all this? Do I need to be showing up at all this stuff? And does it really matter? Is my life any different from spending all this time at these Bible studies or whatever? And so it was just a season of like, I'm not sure this is how I want to spend my time because I'm not sure it's paying off for me. I'm not sure that I couldn't be having more fun or doing something better with my time than focusing so much on this. And so I really had to wrestle. And I think, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, Susie, but I think that we cycle through that. I find myself cycling through that every now and again, not quite to the depths of that first real crisis of faith, for lack of better words. But even, you know, in the last couple of years, I have had seasons, little short, like an experience or a week or something happened where I go, man, is this all worth it? Like, are we sure we're right? Are we sure that we are giving our lives to something and someone that really cares? And the resounding answer from the Lord every time I hear that question ring in my head is absolutely, we are on the right track. This is for a purpose. God is real and doing big things on this planet. But yeah, I think if you don't have run-ins with questions about your faith, you probably aren't asking enough questions.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And we have such an ability to go on autopilot, and I think you do that for a while. You don't realize it, but you disengage your heart, and then you're kind of forced to ask the question, which you need to ask the question, am I even on the right track right now? And as you say, we find that the answer in Christ. Well, tell me about the catalyst to writing Let's All Be Brave, living life with everything you have, because you even admit in the book, this isn't something that comes instinctively or naturally to you. So talk about just how you were inspired to write the one.
You know, that's one of my favorite things to tell people, Susie, is I, especially when I get to speak to groups or talk one-on-one with people who've read the book, I love reminding people that I am super normal and I'm not this super brave person that's lived in a billion foreign countries and done a lot of very risky things like jumping out of planes and whatever. You know, that's just not me. As I say in the book, I pick a sugar rush over an adrenaline rush every time. And so it's not natural for me to enjoy doing the hard thing or the brave thing. Perseverance has never been a gift of mine that I'm very good at. And so when the Lord started, you know, when I kind of dreamed of writing books, I dreamed for a long time. One of my grandmothers was a librarian. The other set of grandparents owned a bookstore. So I kind of grew up speaking the language of books and was kind of told that reading books was the highest form of being a human. You know what I mean? Like, if you're reading or around books, you've done something right. And so when I got into my mid-20s and kind of started dreaming about what it would look like to write a book, this title, Let's All Be Brave, has been in my heart for years. I mean, literally, it's probably been a decade that I've had that sentence stirring in my heart. And it's not, you know, as we talked about, it's my fourth book to come out. The first three are for teen girls. And so this is the first one that's for adults, that's for people that are my age, that are my friends, for men and women. And what it just came to where I wanted to write a book that told my friends parts of my story that they didn't ever know. Because my friends know I'm really normal, and my friends know, and they have lived a lot of life with me, especially when I think about people who read my blog and people who've grown up with me, these people who've journeyed with me the last, you know, 6 or 7 years of this process of becoming an author. And I thought, man, I want to write a book that tells them that normal people can do normal things, and it's actually really brave.
Good word. In fact, you even say, you know, courage looks different on all of us, because when we think of bravery and courage, we think of these heroic decisions that some make, that you hear about, that you read about, and you think, I cannot get there from here. But they didn't get
right
there from here either. I mean, it was one next right step at a time. So break that down to the person, which I so related to you. Just side note, as you're talking about your friend who ran out of gas, and you said, I don't run out of gas because I fill my gas tank. You know, I'm that
right
person who is so careful and plans ahead and all those things. And so I don't like to,
yep,
that's not fun for me to live on the edge and see how far I can get with my gas tank. You know,
right.
And so just, but speak to that, break it down for that person who says, I'm not even close to brave. I don't even like to take risks. What do you say?
Right. Well, you know, last weekend, a young woman came up to me at an event and she said, why does God call some people to do extreme brave things and other people to do normal brave things? And I said, who is defining what extreme is? And she kind of looked at me and I was like, yeah, God didn't say yours was extreme versus hers. I was like, we have this thing in our head. Just like you said, that there are certain things that happen in life that are more extremely brave than others. But for me, the bravest thing I've ever done to date is move from Atlanta to Nashville, which is 3 hours. Most people go to college farther away than that. You know, most people, I can't tell you how many students here in Nashville fly home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I never lived that far away until I'm, and even with Nashville, I don't fly home. I still drive. And so for a lot of us, there's this levels of being a really brave Christian. There are people who, you know, if you do this and this, if you move far away, if you give up everything, and that is the epitome of brave. And those things are very brave for those people, for sure. I have a sister who's a missionary who lives overseas. She is really brave, but that's not my brave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to make me a step closer to the Lord to do my sister's brave thing. What God is asking from each of us, I think, is figure out who you are, how God made you uniquely, and what are your unique calls to courage? Because whatever is uniquely a call to courage in your life, like you said, whether that's going across the street or across town or across the world, whatever God's calling you to do is your extreme step of courage, even if it doesn't look like that based on how it would be labeled in a Sunday school class.
And that's the thing. So we each need to ask ourselves, even that opening question that you said, or your charge, you said, I'm here today to ask you to please do that thing in your heart that scares you to death. Make that move or that leap you wouldn't have made weeks ago. I want to know what that leap is, what that move is. God's got to be stirring something in your heart. We've got 3 copies of Annie's book, Let's All Be Brave, to give away. And we have as many men listening as women, and this book is for you, whether you're a man or a woman. So give me a call. On your mark, it's set, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Annie Downs in just a moment.
What does courage mean to me? It means being strong. It means being daring. It means being willing to try something that you might not want to and then doing it anyway.
Courage means taking the right action when it is hard or when there's danger in doing that right action.
Wow, thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, having a great conversation with Annie Downs. Let's All Be Brave is the title of her book, and here's the question I have for you. I saw a bunch of calls come in. I want to hear from you. This is what Annie writes. She says, I'm here today to ask you to please do that thing in your heart that scares you to death. Make that move or that leap you wouldn't have made weeks ago. I want to know, what is that leap? What is that move? What is that nudge? Is it crossing the street, as I said, to talk with your difficult neighbor? Is it going back to school? Maybe it's writing a book. I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And Annie, you talked about just the idea that when we compare our stories and even our battles to each other, we not only lose perspective, we tend to lose heart. And so I want you to talk about the importance of embracing, you touched on this before the break, but embracing our story from God's perspective and the danger really of looking to the right and left and comparing our story, our courage, our brave with others.
Right. I think to me, you cannot be brave alone. I think it is impossible. For me in my life, there has not been an opportunity that has come before me to make a brave or challenging step where I didn't have to bring someone else in to hold my hand or to talk me through making that jump. And the problem is that if we try to do brave alone, we will listen to the whispers of fear in our head, and it will, to me, it will get too loud. And then the other side of it is, if you bring people in who, like you talked about, who are deciding levels of brave, they may look at you and go, oh, that's not that brave. And you go, man, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And so to me, it is about bringing wise people around you and us as a culture, as a body of believers, stopping judging what brave is for other people. You know, I had someone write a review of Let's All Be Brave, which you're totally not supposed to read, but it happened. And what the person said is, Annie says this book was hard for her to write, but I don't understand why this was so hard. And I thought, oh, you missed it. You're not supposed to judge my brave. You know, you can say what you want about the book. You don't have to love the book, but we don't get to look at each other's braves and go, oh, that wasn't hard. Mm-hmm. Because instead, what we should do is look at each other and go, man, does that feel like a brave step to you? Well, I agree that I see brave in you. In fact, we're doing this thing online, this hashtag that is brave. And every Wednesday on my blog, people are emailing in stories that they are seeing in other people's lives of their friends doing brave things or seeing in their own lives. And it's on Twitter and it's on Instagram where people are hashtagging that is brave and showing us like, hey, look, I see brave in the people around me. And I think that's what we're called to do, is to look out to our people and go, hey, I saw you post a blog post that was probably kind of hard to write. That was really brave. Or I saw you leave your kid at the nursery for the first time ever. That's really brave. I know that's hard. You know, to kind of call it out in each other. Brave begets brave, I think. I think when we love other people well, we, you know, love given is courage gained, is what I like to say. When we give love, it builds courage in other people. And I think that needs to be our focus. Instead of, am I braver than him? Or is that really brave what he's doing? Instead going, man, these little steps in my life are brave. I need to tell other people so that they can know that I need people supporting me. And I need to cheer on the people around me and what they're doing with their brave moment.
Such a good word, Annie. Remember when I was young, learning that my grandpa had been beat to death over a union dispute with crowbars. He worked at a gas station, and this car pulled up, and they asked him for a quart of oil. He went in, he came back out. They pulled the crowbars out, and he died of a brain hemorrhage. And I just remember living with fear around being jumped. And then when I was 10 years old, walking home from school, I was jumped, and I was beat up by a group of boys, beat up bad. And so I lived with this constant fear, you're safe nowhere. And I remember when I became a speaker and an author, I just thought, can I just stay in my little community? I don't really see the need. There's other people out there that can cross over state lines and national borders and all that. And I remember voicing that, and some women just going, I don't know what you're afraid of. I mean, everybody travels, and these were people that were friends, but they were sort of rolling their eyes. And I can't even tell you how my heart sunk, and then the Lord just whispered to my heart, I know what this takes for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And that's the thing, isn't it? That God knows what it takes, what your brave calls out of you. He knows, and he loves you. And so you're not getting an eye roll from him, are you?
Right. That's exactly right. I think about it a lot, too, with people who go to the gym, because a lot of times we make assumptions about who's in the gym and how brave it was for them to show up based on what they look like or how they're doing in the class or on the treadmill. And I just think, man, we have no idea what it is like, what courage in each person needed to get up and go to the gym that day.
Mm-hmm.
But we make assumptions, and I'm just trying so hard now that this is like the forefront of my life. I'm trying so hard to be like, I can't assume that I know what it's like for anyone else in my life to be brave, except I can look at them and go, yeah, that is brave. These things you're telling me, those are brave. And we should call that out in each other more often.
Yeah. And even to in our own souls, you know, to bend our ear towards the Lord and just say, I know your heart and you are for me. You are not against me. You're the one who makes me brave. Because sometimes if you're not getting it from people around you, you do need community, but some people do really brave things going it alone because they had no other choice. You know, a battered woman who leaves in the night with her kids to leave an abusive husband. And you think about that. Wow. And so, yeah, I just think it's so important to be hearing from the Lord. Well, I remember you wrote in the book in October of 2007, you started to feel the stirring in your soul. You sat down with your journal, began to prayerfully ask questions like, should I change churches, jobs? And then you landed on a question that sort of took your breath away. What was that question?
Yeah, you know, that day I had really heard the Lord. I felt I was hearing the Lord kind of move me in some way, and I couldn't figure out what. And then after about 25 questions in my little journal, I just wrote, am I supposed to move to Nashville? And it absolutely shocked me because I had only visited Nashville for about 12 hours one other time in my life. At that point, I was 27. And so I'd only ever visited the city one other time. And I didn't have friends in Nashville. I didn't have any reason to move to Nashville. And it just felt like, it honestly felt out of the blue, which to me sometimes is more of a sign of the Lord doing something where you're like, oh, no, I couldn't have even thought that up. That's got to not be me, you know. And so that really started me on a journey of, okay, is God moving my life to a new city? And what will that look like? And what would it look like to obey that? And what if I'm wrong? And I mean, it was a 6 or 7 month process because I was teaching elementary school at the time. And so it was October that question first came in my heart. And so I knew I was there till the end of the school year, right? So I knew I wasn't going anywhere before summer. So I just kind of, which is so sweet how the Lord works with me. My friend Emily Freeman, you know Emily Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Emily says that she and her husband have a long runway before they take off. And that's very similar to how I am too. Once I take off, I can go pretty high, but I have a long runway. And so the Lord just knew I needed that long runway of October to July to really process through, like, am I hearing God and am I hearing him right? And what am I supposed to do with this?
You know, what's so fun is that, you know, my oldest son has lived in Nashville for a number of years, and you open so many of your chapters with the different coffee places that you're writing from, and they're all his favorites. So he and I were texting back and forth.
Oh,
I love that one. Oh, I love that one. He lives in East Nashville, but he felt like he was...
Yeah, I wonder if we share friends.
You might. He felt like he was hearing from his sister, so that was pretty fun. So when we come back, I want to just talk about those first steps of brave when you decided as a single gal to just up and move to Nashville without knowing anybody. And we'll take your calls as well, 877-933-2484. We got a whole influx of calls, people saying, give me that book. I want that book. We'd love to hear, though, what's your brave look like? Give us a call, 877-933-2484. Talk more with Annie Downs in just a moment.
Courage means to stand up for what is right in circumstances where you know that you're probably going to be the minority.
Courage means the fortitude inside to stand up for what is right.
And to be able to stand on the foundation that God alone is sovereign and God alone is in control.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with Annie Downs. Her brand new book is titled, Let's All Be Brave. Should we? Let's all be brave. Living life with everything you have. And so that was the question I posed before the break. What does your brave look like? What are you sensing God's asking you to do? Maybe it scares you half to death. We've got an anonymous caller calling in and needs some encouragement today. I'm going to give the phone number real quick, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So we'll take this anonymous caller. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Susie. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share a couple of brave things, one that I'm doing and one that I'm about to do and scared to death to do. The first one is that I'm a nurse, a home care nurse, and I started taking care of a little boy in a family that does not speak English. And gradually over a two-year period of time, I've been able to get the children going to church, get the family going to church through God's help, of course, not me, but God is doing this. And it's a Korean refugee family. And it was very difficult to kind of wiggle my way into this family, not knowing their culture or anything about them. But it's growing, and the family's it's amazing to me how much God has used me to spread the word to this family and the families that are related to them. And that's one thing I'm currently involved in. And then the second thing is that I'm 55 years old, and I feel that God is calling me to go back to school and get my RN. I'm now an LPN, but I've had to move twice to do this. And now I'm moving back to Iowa in December, and going to be in school with a bunch of 20-year-olds, and it's going to be one semester. And I really am frightened. I've been praying a lot about that because I know my faith is going to help the fear go away, but it is a scary thing, and I don't really know why he's wanting me to do this. I just feel like this is what he wants me to do.
Okay, hold on. I want Annie to chat with you. And one thing I remember Annie said in the book is there's just times it doesn't always make sense, but you know that God's leading you. Do you want to say a word to our anonymous friend?
Yeah. First of all, I think you are super brave for the stuff you've already told us, so I cheer with you and totally am cheering for you. I think you're experiencing this going to get your RN is something we all kind of experience at times, is doing something we don't know why, and putting ourselves in a place that we aren't 100% comfortable and not sure what to do with that. And I think something that I can relate to you as well, even though I'm not nearly smart enough to be a nurse, is that you know, we all hear fear voices whispering, whether it's telling you that everybody else in the class is going to be much younger than you, or it's going to move too fast, or you don't want to have to move. We all hear those fear voices. We just can't listen to them anymore. You know, we just have to say, no, I know what I'm supposed to do next. The word says, whether you hear a voice, whether you turn to the right or left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so once you know what you're called to, you just have to keep going and bring people around you to pray for you. But man, I'm excited for you. I think that's going to be a neat next step.
Thank you so much for that call. And just a quick word too, a pastor friend of mine gave me this diagram that I use often, but you've got that inner circle, and that's like your comfort zone. And when we live, just stay in our comfort zone, even what we know shrinks. He also calls it the known zone. And then you picture a circle around that. That's the learning zone. When you step out, you feel like a small little fish in a big pond, because you're in the learning zone. There's things you don't know, and you feel out of your element. And that is so necessary to cross over if we really want to experience everything God has for us. And then the third circle is the faith zone. He calls it the freak out zone. That's the place where you are stepping out in faith, and you feel like, I am sunk if God doesn't come through for me. And this anonymous friend, you just need to know, so many people live in the known zone, never want to leave and go out to the learning zone, even like Annie did, where she moved to a whole new city. But I think that is where the adventure starts. And you're going to see something of God in that place. So thank you for that. And I hope we can get you a copy of Annie's book. Denise is calling in from Fargo, and she's got either a question or comment. Denise, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I have more of a comment. I was enlightened by the fact that there's not really a super brave thing that someone does versus an average brave thing, that it all depends on where you're at as far as how brave you're being in your own little world. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've been kind of judgmental, and glad that I was enlightened that, like people getting on a plane. Well, that's exciting to me, and I just think, how can you be scared to get on a plane? And all depends on your past experiences. I've never taken that into consideration before, so that is, it's enlightening to hear that, that not everybody's in the same place as far as their confidence levels.
Yeah, and so you just don't know what it costs them and where they've been, and so, Denise, I so appreciate that. Annie, you want to say anything to Denise?
Yeah, Denise, I'd say you're brave for living in Fargo, because doesn't it get really cold there?
Oh, it's terrible.
See, that's a whole different kind of brave.
Right. I mean, my little southern self can't even dream about how cold it would be up there. But
yeah.
But thank you for saying that. And, you know, I think it's really important that that's one of the most beautiful experiences I've had in this, is being able to talk to friends and see in myself, that, like, when we start calling out and noticing the little everyday brave things, you suddenly realize that people are being brave all around you all the time. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're just doing what they think they have to do next. And we get the joy of pointing out to them that was really brave, and it builds something in them.
So true. And we also can't take for granted the certain instincts and gifts and things that God has put in us, because there's certain things that may feel instinctive to us, and others say, that isn't obvious to me, and it takes a whole lot of courage for me to step up and do what you do every day like it's nothing. And so to be humble enough to say, even the things that come instinctively come as a gift from God for stewarding purposes, you know. 877-933-2484. Jackie's calling in from Crystal. Jackie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi there. I just want to encourage the woman who was just calling about going back to school. I just want to tell her she can totally do it. I know she had talked about being in her 60s and, you know, being in a classroom full of 20-year-olds, but I'm in my 30s and there are people older than 60 in my classroom. So she can totally do it. And, you know, God has told me to go back to school, and I was so nervous and afraid of my first day of school, but I have made straight A's for 3 full semesters, and I know it's only by God doing that. So,
Jackie,
that's awesome.
Way to go. And thank you. And Annie, well, this is one thing you'll learn about these great listeners is they do this all the time. They call in to encourage each other. And Jackie, I want to make sure you give Grace your address. We're going to send you some fun resources from our Faith Radio shelf in case Annie's books are gone. God bless you. Well, okay, so we were going back to your story about Nashville, which is so fun for me because we go once a year and I do a bike ride with my son every year on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and so Ugly Mugs is one of his favorites, and The Pharmacy, and of course Portland Brew and all these others that you mentioned. So fun for me. But I'm trying to picture you moving and just going because you really sense God wanted you to do that. And you wrote, I just did the best I could to live somewhere that wasn't home. Day after day, I just did the next thing, took the next step, said the next yes. And God built a life for me in Nashville that I could not have dreamed up for myself. So here you were in the learning zone because you crossed out of your comfort zone into a place where you didn't really know what was ahead for you. You followed God. But you have to go through that unknown zone, don't you, to get to the better place that God has. I mean, that's part of the process, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And for me, I'm sure for many people who have done things that were hard, I mean, it did not come easy. There was, you know, I like to say there was weeping and gnashing of teeth for a long time when I first moved here. I watched a lot of episodes of Reba on my television when I first moved to Nashville. But I also, my brave step once I got to Nashville was literally just saying yes. If someone said, do you want to come here? Our mission team, we just got back 3 weeks ago from a mission trip. Would you like to come here? Our team share? Yes. Would you like to go get coffee even though we've never met? Yes. Would you like to volunteer to help feed the homeless with our Sunday school class? Yes. I mean, and I didn't want to do any of that stuff, Susie. I wanted to stay home until God gave me permission to go back to Atlanta. And that never came. And so I just made myself keep saying yes over and over, even if it meant I sat in my car and cried outside of a restaurant for 5 minutes. That was okay. I just dried it up and went inside, you know, and that was really hard for me. You know, for some people, meeting new people, and I'm super extroverted, so in general, meeting new people isn't something that requires tons of courage for me. But when everyone you meet every day is brand new, it's a whole different thing.
Wow.
So it was a really hard couple of months.
Wow. I think it is amazing. And that wouldn't come as easy to me. So I marvel at that. But you say now that you have a life there that you didn't even dream of. So talk about crossing through that kind of the valley of the unknown, that unknown zone. What are some of the benefits? What are some of the blessings you enjoy in Nashville that you wouldn't otherwise?
Wow. I mean, there is just, you know, and I talk about this a little bit in the book, but once I lived in Nashville for about 3 years, I moved for 6-ish months to University of Edinburgh in Scotland and did college ministry there. And that's probably the biggest, one of the biggest gifts that came from moving to Nashville is when an opportunity came to move overseas. I remember thinking, oh, I can do that. God showed up when I moved to Nashville. He'll take care of me when I move to Scotland. Whereas if we would have jumped straight from Atlanta to Scotland, I don't know that I would have said yes. And so God showing up and being faithful in my today makes me ready for my tomorrow. Because whatever's going to come tomorrow, I've already seen him be faithful today. And that is probably the biggest gift that Nashville has been to me is a visual representation of how faithful God is. And so it's just been incredible. Now, that doesn't count all the great restaurants, all the amazing friends, the church I go to, and the fact that my entire career was born and now is centered in Nashville. I mean, I'm a, you know, 7 years ago, I was a fourth grade teacher, you know. I mean, I had a bunch of fifth graders that I lassoed around every day and took care of every day and then went home to my house and kind of had that kind of life. And my life is so different now, not better or worse, just totally different. And I'm just grateful this is the right season for me for right now.
Yeah, it fits your story. Well, I would love for you to talk to the person listening today who's feeling that stirring, but maybe feeling nervous and scared about asking some of those soul-searching questions that you asked. You said, you know, Lord, am I changing churches? Am I changing jobs? Yeah. And you happened to change states. I mean, that was a pretty big move.
Right.
What advice do you have for that person who's like, okay, yeah, I feel that restlessness, the soul stirring, but they're too afraid to ask those questions. What do you say?
Right. You know, and I think you may have read this part too, but there was, after God and I kind of talked about Nashville for weeks, I was so mad. I was so mad that I'd even ask the question, why didn't I just leave it alone? Why didn't I just pretend like I hadn't heard anything? I think we all can think of times when we wished we wouldn't have asked the question, not just to the Lord, but to anybody, like, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? You know? And that was kind of the feeling I had right after that. But it was pretty clear within a short amount of time that this was the journey God was taking me on. So I'd say to someone out there who is listening and feeling that stirring but is scared to ask, that is okay to be scared to ask. I was too. And I didn't like the answer. So if you get an answer you don't like, that's okay too. But what really confirmed things for me is I brought in some godly people into this story with me, my pastor, my parents, my two best friends, and they all kind of confirmed along with me, yeah, this could be the Lord. We feel like this could be right. And then there were steps that had to happen in my life in order for it to make sense for me to move. My house had to sell. I had to be able to find a place to live in Nashville. And there were all these doors that had to open. And so I just kept saying to the Lord when I pray about it, I'd say, okay, well, if you show me an open door, I'll walk through it. But, you know, if there is like a stick laid across the path, I'm stopping. You know, like, if I have to step over a stone, this is done. And He just bulldozed the path for me. And certainly since then, there have been times that doors have closed and doors have opened. But I've seen over and over that when God opens the door, we get to walk through it. And what he has on the other side is going to exceed the dreams that you've come up with for yourself.
And he's that good. Wow. Having a great conversation with Annie Downs. Again, title of her book is Let's All Be Brave. We have one more segment left if you want to call in with your questions or comments, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, my question for you is, what is God stirring you to do? What's the next thing he's asking you to do? What scares you half to death? Give me a call and tell me, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
courage is the root word for encourage. And so when I think of courage, I think of people stepping out and doing something that would bless somebody else and that they wouldn't necessarily do it themselves, or they're going to step out and take a leap of faith.
So I think to have courage to say, it doesn't look like it, but God is in this, and no matter what happens, sometimes I need to say to God, I know that you can. I don't know if you will, but even if you don't, I still know that you can.
Wow, that's a great word, isn't it? We don't always know how it's going to turn out, but that's on God. We trust Him. We do the next thing. We follow His lead. I'm talking today to Annie Downs, and the title of her new book is Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. When you get to the end of your life, I know for me, I'm going to look back, and the times that I was motivated by self-preservation, by fear, I'm going to so wish I lived by faith. And so that's really the purpose of today's program, is don't be bound by your fears and your insecurities. Be brave, trust God, and just do the next right thing, next thing He's calling you to do. 877-933-2484. Chime in. I'd love to hear from you. What is that thing that scares you half to death? But if you just could, you know, have the guts, you'd step out and do it. I want to know. 877-933-2484. Let's all be brave, okay? So, Annie, you said you were talking about a time when you were on the plane and you were reading Rebecca Lyon's book. We've had Gabe on a few times before. His wife wrote this book titled Free Fall to Fly. And you were saying how her words had challenged you to dig up some talents you buried in the dirt. I want you to talk about how her challenge impacted you and then what we should know about our own buried talents.
Yeah, you know, in Rebecca's book, she really speaks in this one little section. She speaks about, what if we thought about the parable of talent as literally the talents that God has put in our hearts and our lives? And if we think back to when we were kids and the things we dreamed of doing with our lives, what if just, you know, what if by chance God had put that dream in your heart on purpose? And it absolutely messed me up. I mean, I remember looking around on the plane feeling like someone was eavesdropping on me, that it was bringing up all these things to when I thought back to when I was a kid and all these talents that I had wanted to pursue that I had never pursued and that I had just buried. And the thing that impacted me the most about that Bible story that any of us can relate to, I think, is that what the landowner, who is to represent God to us, says to the two men who invested their talent and multiplied their talents in the end is, he says, you know, well done. I want you to partner with me. I want you to be a partner with me in what I'm doing. And I just thought, man, that is who I want to be. I don't want to be the girl who buried my talent. I want to be the one that God says, hey, let's partner in what we're doing. And the amazing thing is, you know, the only thing we know from the story Jesus told is the exact details Jesus told, right? But what we don't know is maybe the guy who got 5 talents and came back with 10, maybe at some point he had 12 or 13 talents and had been risky and had done something and then lost a couple of them. We don't have any idea. And we think that that story is all about success when there could be failure built into that story or perceived failure built into that story that we just don't know. And so I think we have to also give ourselves permission to, like, trying and failing isn't failure. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Trying and it not going the way you think it's going to go doesn't have anything to do with whether God thinks you're investing your talents well. You just invest and trust God to do with them what they will, and He'll multiply what He'll multiply. But what He's looking for are people like us who are willing to say, okay, I've always wanted to try this, or I've always been good at this, or I secretly always wanted to do this, and then take a step toward that.
And that, too, you take a deeper look at that parable, and you think of the one who buried his talents. You know, if you didn't see that story in context and see the response of the landowner, which was not good. I mean, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you wicked, lazy
right.
servant. When you take away the response, one could look at that and go, you know, frugality is a virtue. And yet, so how
right.
often does that pass for being frugal when really it's fear? And that doesn't please
right.
God.
Right. And I kind of feel bad for that guy because he really thought he was doing the best, you know, like, I know, I'll just put it down here and nothing will happen to it.
Yeah.
And I think his, you know, obviously, he's a fictional character because Jesus is telling a story, but B, we'll never know. But I just like to think, like, there are times where I think my motives to not step out and be brave are really good motives. Like, I really am trying to do the best thing. But then there's this whisper of, like, okay, but is that what God's actually asking you to do? Or are you just being self self-preservation-y. Mm-hmm. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
You just made up a word, and it works.
I made up a word, so we're authors.
I got it.
Do that?
I know what it means, so it's official. You've made up a good word. All right, Sue's calling in from Portage, and she's got a comment today. Sue, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I went through some difficulties as a wife and a mom raising our son, who's got some extreme behavioral issues due to a disability. And sometimes I, you know, wasn't quite the self-pity party, but the Lord just, you know, revealed to me that scripture, I believe it's in Romans, about, you know, I will give you what you need and will get you out from mm-hmm. under it. That always encouraged me. And then when I would find someone at work or somewhere that I thought, too, they had very little struggle, but yet they seemed so overwhelmed by something. And I would think, wow, I wish that's all I had to deal with. But the Lord reminded me that he was just giving them, you know, just enough that he could, you know, to draw them to him to get out from under their circumstances. And so I found myself find myself praying for people when they go through difficult things, that those circumstances would draw them to the Lord and that they would not blame the Lord for those circumstances. Mm. So kind of worked me through some difficulties there, but I'm thankful for having gone through them.
Mm. God bless you, Sue. Annie, do you want to say anything to Sue?
Yeah, I mean, Sue, you kind of amaze me. I'm just like, yeah, I think that's exactly who we're supposed to be, is the people who live the life that God has given us and look at others and go, how can I support you in what you're living? How can I pray for you in what you're living? What does it look like for you to be brave? I think you're exactly right. And there is something about taking time to go, okay, I recognize that what I'm going through is hard, and other people would look at and say, yes, that is hard, but then also going, but that could be hard for them. And that's exactly what you've done, Sue. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, Sue, thanks for that call. I just have a moment here before I ask you to pray, but one last excerpt from your book. You write, don't be afraid, be brave. Say the things that will speak truth and heal. Hold your tongue in anger or fear. Those are the times when a coward speaks. But when the moment comes to say the gracious thing that will mark a heart forever, say it. Speak love and watch as beautiful things come to life. And I know you did a blog experiment on this whole idea of random words of kindness and encouragement. Would you just say a final word before we pray on the importance of our words, not only our self-talk, because we can be our own worst enemy at times, but just mm-hmm. speaking life to one another?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the word says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And we have the opportunity every day, really all the time, to speak life into the people around us. And that's it, exactly what you said. You know, the idea, to me, it is the cowardly people who will speak out of anger or hurt or fear and quickly. And it's the wise people and the brave people who can pause and think about the long-termness of everything we say. You know, we can all think about things that somebody said to us when we were younger that we can't forget. And I think part of being brave is going, I'm brave enough to stay quiet when I want to say the loud, hard thing. And I'm brave enough to speak up when I need to say the brave thing.
Mm. Such good conversation. Annie, really appreciated meeting you. And I pray you and my son can cross paths someday. It's always fun for me to have fellow brothers and sisters in Nashville. But as we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today who's feeling their heartbeat in their chest, knowing that they've got some next steps to take.
Yeah, I love that. So, okay. Lord, we thank you so much for today. And thank you for Susie and the ministry she's pouring out here, Lord. We're just grateful. And God, I just pray for all of us as we feel these stirrings in our hearts and then just deep in our chest to do something, whether it's like we talked about, across the street, across the neighborhood, across the table, or across the world. God, would you just speak real clearly to each of us about what our unique, brave opportunities are in our lives that look different than anybody else's? And God, would you just put in us all the courage we need, all the strength we need, and would you surround us with people who will stand with us, who will stand for us, and who will help us to be brave? Yeah, God, we just want to be people who are brave on behalf of you, who, like we talked about in the parable of the talents, God, we want to partner with you in what you're doing on this planet. So show us what that looks like. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Annie, what a blessing to meet you today, and thanks for giving us your time.
Thanks, Susie. I loved it. It was great talking with you.
And you as well. And she says, do whatever it takes to expand your map, because if you go where you've never gone before, you will see God like you've never seen him before. Hope you enjoyed today's show and were encouraged by it. If you were, go on our website. The podcast will be up in a few minutes. And share it with a friend, myfaithradio.com. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Well, you hear this from me every day. You're going to hear it again today. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.